You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 12th of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I just want to make it clear, yesterday when I was quoting a spokesman for the NSPCC, what he was saying is that we need to do something to prevent the child abuse from occurring. He didn't actually say anything about immigration. That was my response to the quote. I just wanted to clear that up because when I was explaining it yesterday, it may have appeared that my response to his quote was actually a part of his quote itself. And what I was saying is that really we need to find out the ethnic component of this child abuse and see if there is a link to the large amount of that particular type of child abuse that we see happening in places like Nigeria and South Africa. And if we were to prevent people from those countries coming into Britain, that may well prevent a larger part of that particular type of child abuse from happening. But I want to talk about something completely different today. I want to talk about the proposed hate crime legislation in Scotland. Now, Scotland has slightly different legislation to the legislation that we have in England and throughout the rest of the United Kingdom. And this particular bill would diverge quite considerably from the legislation that there is throughout the rest of the country. And one of the interesting things about this proposed bill is that it has united all sorts of different people in opposition to the bill itself. And today we're hearing that Rowan Atkinson has thrown his hat into the ring. Famed British comedian and star of Blackadder and Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson has signed an open letter decrying Scotland's new hate crime and public order bill, warning that the law will infringe upon freedom of speech. As if we haven't had enough infringements upon freedom of speech already with particular groups that we are not allowed to criticise. Of course, these laws that they bring in, they never actually put into the law, you are not allowed to criticise this particular type of person, because every right-thinking person in the country would say, well, that can't be right. It can't be that laws prevent us from criticising people from certain groups, people when they commit crimes, when they do things that are against the law. But of course, what they do is they say that this is a law to prevent hate. And of course, people think, well, hate isn't a good thing. We want to prevent people hating one another in our society. So people tend to go along with these laws. And this is why it's a good thing that this is receiving so much publicity, because it's publicity because people are against this. And people are seeing that this is not about preventing hatred against minorities. This is about restricting our freedom of expression, restricting our ability to talk to one another about how we see society. An open letter from the Humanist Society Scotland, signed by artists, authors, journalists and free speech campaigners, including novelist Chris Bookmyer, actor Elaine C. Smith, playwright Alan Bassett, as well as comedian Rowan Atkinson. And one of those is actually a favourite author of Nicola Sturgeon that's actually signed this letter. Rowan Atkinson warned that the left separatist Scottish National Party bill could stifle free expression. And before they actually sent this letter out, the Secular Society, the Humanist Society, a lot of these groups were asked what their opinion was on this. And alongside the question asking them what their opinion was on this, there was a lot of propaganda trying to preempt criticisms of this. And the fact that they were trying to preempt criticisms of this and influence the people's reply to this, that has received a lot of criticism as well. The letter warned that the legislation as written creates stirring up offences without any intent being examined, merely that the words, action or artwork might do so. This offence could even be applied to being in possession of materials produced by someone else, where sharing the material could stir up hatred. And this phrase, stirring up, it's irritated me for quite a while now, this phrase, stirring up hatred. I mean, what are they suggesting there? That there is this hatred already there that is being stirred up? Is it just waiting there, waiting to explode at any moment? And somebody else is going to be, it's somebody else that is stirring it up that is responsible? Are we no longer responsible for our own actions? These hate speech laws, I feel, go right against the whole concept of justice is about. Justice is all about being responsible for your own actions. And when you start bringing in laws to prosecute people for things that they might have said, then what you're effectively saying is that people are no longer responsible for their own actions. Somebody else is responsible for their actions. And what they are saying here is that the person that they're going to try and blame as being responsible for somebody else's actions, they may not have even had an intent to do that in the first place. Unbelievable. At the moment, in Britain, they have to, or in England rather, they have to show that there was an intent to incite hatred. They have to show that there was some intent there on the part of the person that has been accused of this. There has to have been some sign that that's what they were intending to do. And this inciting of hatred, when it was put into the public order bill at the time of the miners' strikes, it was intended to stop people from stirring up a mob and getting them to go and attack a building or getting them to go and attack someone. It was linked with the threat of actual violence. And rather than making it you can't incite violence, the law says, well, you can't incite hatred. And the hatred that it is talking about was the hatred that was so strong that it meant that somebody would actually go and carry out a violent act against somebody. But the fact that they're saying here that, well, the fact that they've actually made it a crime to incite people to that takes away the responsibility for the action itself of the person that's being incited. We don't actually have a word, incitable, but we should have. I mean, people should be taught to have self-control. They should not be incitable. Anybody who is capable of being incited to do something that they wouldn't otherwise normally do obviously lacks self-control. We don't want people that lack self-control. And I don't think we should have these safety mechanisms put in there for people that lack self-control. We should be encouraging people to have a thick skin, not take offence at what other people say, and to have a strong enough belief in themselves that it doesn't matter what criticisms other people make. In some cases, criticisms can encourage people to really excel at things. When I was a youth, somebody said to me, you'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to do that. And I was certain that I was going to prove them wrong. And I did prove them wrong. And I did do exactly the thing that I was being told I would never be able to do. So the actual act of criticism can be a good thing. It can encourage people to excel and do better at what they're actually doing. And that's because I was always taught as a child, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And now we seem to be saying that words themselves are the equivalent of violence. And now we have Scotland trying to create a new hate crimes bill that says that regardless of your intent, even if you're not trying to criticize someone, you're not trying to incite hatred, you can still be charged with this offense. And not because a so-called victim has said that they feel that they're being hatred is being incited against them, but just if a judge decides that, or perhaps if a newspaper decides that, or perhaps if a left-wing advocacy group decides that. The letter continues, "The unintended consequences of this well-meaning bill risks stifling freedom of expression and the ability to articulate or criticise religious and other beliefs," the open letter warned. The letter was signed by a cross-party, diverse group of individuals and organisations who warned that the hate crime legislation could frustrate rational debate and discussion, which has a fundamental role in society, including in artistic endeavour. And this is great that people are standing up against this, because these are things that nationalists have been saying for decades about these speech laws, about how they frustrate rational debate and discussion. One of the really tragic things about people getting blacklisted from Twitter and from YouTube and being removed from there is that there is no longer any debate and discussion. There is no longer any criticism of what nationalists have to say. And criticism is a good thing. It's great to have debate. I love to have my views challenged, because it strengthens your views. It means that you're going to come across questions that you may not have had asked before. And when you have those questions asked of you and you are forced to answer for them, it means that you will be more prepared in the future to argue your point and to make your point. This is the terrible thing about the people being removed from places like Twitter and Facebook, is there is no longer any debate on there. You're not likely to find people that vehemently disagree with your views if you're only going on nationalist websites that only have nationalists on them. And this isn't good for the other side of the debate either, because it means that the other side of the debate think that they have won the debate. And then when they come up against somebody with a different view, say somebody from the left comes up against a nationalist, they've got no answers for it whatsoever. And when you talk to people in the left, they will always tell you, unless they're part of Antifa, that debate is a good thing, and that the so-called far right and the nationalists need to be defeated in arguments. And yet, where can we have those arguments if we've all been removed from Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and from the public discourse? We can't have those arguments. 70% of Republicans in America feel that they are unable to express how they feel in society. And it's something like 60% of Democrats as well. A large portion of people now feel that they can't actually express their feelings, how they feel. And now we've got this bill here that wants to take things a step further and say that even if nobody complains about what you have said, you can still be prosecuted for stirring up hate because a judge has decided it. Or, as I say, a newspaper has leant upon the judge to decide that. The right to critique ideas, philosophical, religious, and otherwise, must be protected to allow an artistic and democratic society to flourish, the letter concluded. And it's important that they point out that this is an essential part of democracy. We have to have the free flow of ideas and debate in order to have a functioning democracy. If you are going to say that the people that rule are going to be decided by numbers, they're going to be decided by voting, then the voters themselves need to be as well informed as possible. And if you start restricting speech and restricting the ability to criticise those who rule over you, then those voters are not going to be well informed. Those voters are going to be manipulated into voting for people that are going to act against their best interests. democracy and free speech go hand in hand together, which is why in the Human Rights Act, it talks about there being the free flow of ideas, the free flow of expression between borders without anybody putting a stop to it. Obviously, you can have your restrictions on that. You can say it's against the law to incite violence, and it's always been against the law to incite a mob to go and attack people. But to then take it one step further and say it's against the law to incite hate, and then move the goalpost from that, from it, instead of it being hate with a view to violence, to just being dislike, and it being used to shield individuals from criticism, because the goalposts have been moved from inciting violence with a view, inciting hatred with a view to violence, to criticizing members of a protected minority group, which means that you can't even criticize people that have committed crimes because they're from a member of this ethnic minority group, and therefore it's creating a dislike of this minority group, and therefore it's creating a hate, a quote unquote hatred of this minority group. These are the arguments that they're using. These are the goalposts that have been moved. And now to go one step further and say that you don't even have to have any intention of doing that, that's effectively saying that you want to prosecute crimes for people that don't even have a motive to commit a crime. Don't they have to prove a motive in court when they're going after somebody? This is what I mean by this goes against all the fundamentals of justice, to prosecute people just for simply for things that they are saying, and to prosecute people for things that they had no motive for actually doing. It's totally irrational the way that this is going. Though notionally on the left of the political spectrum, Mr. Atkinson has long been a proponent of freedom of speech, and even defended Boris Johnson for making a joke suggesting burqa-wearing Muslim women resemble letterboxes. And that's a good example. How can that be seen as inciting people to hate a group of people? It's just a simple joke. They do resemble letterboxes because they have a rectangular slit at the front, just like a letterbox. How can that be seen as offensive? It breaks down the barriers, really, instead of seeing people all dressed in black where you can only just see their eyes, instead of being fearful and a little bit on edge because it's not something you're used to seeing, it's going to raise a smile when you see them, because you're going to think, yes, they look like it looks like a letterbox, doesn't it? And it breaks down that fear. It doesn't cause people to hate Muslim women because Boris Johnson said that they resemble letterboxes. So just the fact that that was accused of hate speech, that tells us where these laws are going, where certain people want these laws to go. As a lifelong beneficiary of the freedom to make jokes about religion, I do think that Boris Johnson's joke about wearers of the burqa resembling letterboxes is a pretty good one, Atkinson wrote in 2018. All jokes about religion cause offence, so it's pointless apologising for them. You should really only apologise for a bad joke, and on that basis, no apology is required, the Blackadder Star concluded. He's got a good point there. He says all jokes about religion cause offence. And the thing with offence is, offence can only be taken. It's down to the individual whether they take offence at something. And people could take offence at absolutely anything. David Lammy recently took offence at a pair of shoes. He literally took offence at a pair of shoes and went to Twitter calling for Amazon to remove this advert because of the colour that the pair of shoes were. So you can literally find offence with anything. A vegan could find offence with somebody that was eating a beef burger. And yet they're trying to link these hate speech laws in with something being offensive. And what may be offensive to one person may be of utmost hilarity to somebody else. And the further we progress in society, the more degenerate it becomes, the less people are actually offended by what they see. And if you want to have a multicultural society, you want to have this diversity, people should be taught not to take offence. They shouldn't take offence at other people's customs, other people's ways of doing things. It's when you take offence at other people's ways of doing things that's when we get the problems. When people take offence at something, people feel slighted, particularly with certain communities, and they will have their honour crimes because they will feel that their honour has been slighted in some way, and they may engage in violence because they feel that is the right way to assuage their honour. So the very idea of taking offence should not be encouraged. I can remember being a child and told not to take offence, not to pay any attention to people that were saying things that might offend me. That's the way you have a functioning society. You don't have a functioning society by encouraging people to take offence at whatever they can and to look for things that they can take offence at. And yet this is now being linked in with this as well. Of course, the court case against Alison Chablow, that was about offence, grossly offensive, her songs were called. Well, they may be to some sections of society, but other sections of society just found them funny. And if we're going to have a functioning multicultural society, I would suggest you have to make it so that nobody can take offence, and people have to be encouraged not to take offence at things. And as I say, you can only take offence. You can't give somebody offence. You can only take offence at something. It's down to the individual that decides that they wish to become an aggrieved victim that has been offended in some way. The comedian also campaigned against proposed laws under the Labour government of Tony Blair, which sought to ban incitement to religious hatred. Atkinson warned that the laws would have threatened freedom of speech and that his opposition was about much more than just defending some silly vicar jokes. And I'm not sure what actually happened to those proposed laws, whether they actually came into operation or not. I know they did bring in some laws to prevent criticism of religion, but there were also some laws previous to that specifically exempt religion and sexual persuasion from that, saying that people could mock sexual persuasion, but yes, people could mock religion, and they weren't to be included in this. Whether people know about that when they're actually being taken to court for these things is a different matter. There was a lord, the UKIP lord, I forget his name now, but he pointed this out, that we do actually have protection for making jokes about religion and making jokes about sexuality. Well, the person that seems to be really pushing this is Scotland's Justice Secretary, Humza Yousaf, who is obviously not ethnically Scottish. He has denied accusations that the bill would curtail free speech, saying last month that free speech in itself is never an unfettered right. Well, yes, he is correct. The right to incite an enraged mob to go and smash down somebody's doors and beat somebody up is not what freedom of speech is about. But we already had laws to prevent that. He says, we don't accept that people can go on speaking tours saying that women should be raped and children should be kidnapped. We just don't accept that freedom of speech is completely unfettered, Yousaf said. And he's been very disingenuous here. He's expecting people to actually believe that that's what this law is supposed to be about. I don't know who he's thinking of that has been in public saying that women should be raped and children kidnapped. I do know that Scotland's hate speech laws have been used to take Count Dankula to court for making his pub dog wave in a video. I mean, this is the sort of thing that these laws are used to go against. People just making innocent jokes on YouTube. Not people that are suggesting that women should be raped and children should be kidnapped. I can't think of what case he is referring to there, but I can think of quite a few cases where people have been even imprisoned for making jokes. He says, what this does is create a protection for particularly minority groups and vulnerable groups in our society against being targeted for hatred and being targets for hatred, he claimed. I don't think that is so. I think by singling out groups in particular in society and making it so that they cannot be criticized, I think that encourages division in society. That encourages those members of those groups to be seen as different to everybody else. And why have they got that privilege and nobody else has? And why is it that white people have been told we have somehow got white privilege when in all our societies it's actually these minority groups that have the privilege of being protected by these laws that are put in place and used to try and prevent white people from criticizing them. The letter was organized by the Humanist Society Scotland, which has called on the bill to be amended to strike a sensible balance between protecting victims and safeguarding freedom of expression. Its chief executive, Fraser Sutherland, said the failure of the bill to require intent to be proved in court on some offences risks a significant chilling effect on free expression. Again, it's effectively saying they don't actually have to prove a motive in a crime. They don't actually have to prove there was any intent to carry out a crime, which means innocent people basically are going to fall victim to this. Many opponents of the bill have drawn parallels with the highly controversial Offensive Behaviour at Football Act, which was eventually repealed by the Scottish Parliament. Well, this gives us some hope that this won't actually go through, because this is an act that was repealed. There have been suggestions, for example, that it could lead to author J.K. Rowling facing a 7-year prison sentence for expressing her concerns about the impact of trans rights on women. And listeners will probably remember this. It happened a month or two back, where she said that only women with female genitalia were actually women. Only women with two X chromosomes are women. And she got lots and lots of attacks on Twitter for apparently being transphobic for pointing out biological reality. Well, if this law was in place, she could have been facing a 7-year prison sentence. How ridiculous is that? A 7-year prison sentence for pointing out biological reality. Where was the hatred in J.K. Rowling doing that? Where was this inciting of hatred? Was she thinking at the time, I want to incite a mob, an enraged mob, to go and attack a transsexual? No, she wasn't. She was just explaining her point of view. She was just explaining her point of view on a topic that's being talked about. So what they're effectively trying to do here is just silence one side of the debate and pretend that there is no debate. That's another side of all this cancel culture and removing people from Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, is so that they can pretend that there is no debate. In years to come, if something isn't done about this, historians will look back and they'll say, well, this is really rather strange. Nobody asked questions about this. Nobody criticized this. The whole of society went along in hating Donald Trump. How bizarre is this? How could the man have been the president of America when all our records here say everybody hated him? That sort of strange situation is going to occur in the future due to all this censorship of one side of the debate. There have also been concerns that the laws on possessing inflammatory material could even lead to libraries and bookshops being prosecuted for stocking books that are deemed to be offensive. Well, what about Mein Kampf? Mein Kampf is a best-selling book. It's a history book. It tells you the point of view of nationalists in Germany in the 1920s and the 1930s. It's a historical document, surely. Not if you believe what some of these advocacy groups will say. They will try and say that if somebody has a copy of that book, then they must be a hater. And yet it's a best-selling book. So could shops that sell Mein Kampf be prosecuted? How are you supposed to know what Hitler's ideology was? Supposedly the most evil man in all of history. How are you supposed to know what his ideology was if you're not allowed to read his book? If nobody sells his book? Isn't it the communists and that isn't it our enemies that we're told are the book burners and the censors? The Scottish Police Federation has warned that the legislation would force officers to police what people think or feel, which it says would devastate the legitimacy of the police in the eyes of the public. You know, this is really uniting everybody against this. You've got the secular society there. You've got the police that are saying they don't want to be doing this. They don't want to be the thought police. They want to be going out and catching criminals. They want to be going out catching muggers and rapists and gangsters and thugs. They don't want to be going after intellectuals for criticising parts of a religious idea. In the Scottish Bishop's submission to the Holyrood Committee, responsible for scrutinising the reforms, the Bishop's Conference stated that the low threshold for hate crimes, as defined in the bill, could threaten freedom of speech, religion, and conscience. The bishops specifically named the Bible and the Catechism as materials that could be defined as being inflammatory under the new provision. Given that the definition of hatred in the bill is unclear, the bishop said it could even render the submissions of the Bishops' Conference to the government on issues like gender identity inflammatory. I mean, this is how expansive this bill is. It would mean that even the Bible would be defined as inflammatory, as inciting hate. And all our law courts are based on the Bible. People swear to tell the truth on the Bible. And yet if you uphold the idea that what's in the Bible is the truth, you risk being accused of inciting hate here. If you were to be quoting parts from the Bible, you could be accused of inciting hate under this law, even with no intention, even when you've got all the love in the world, when you were reading a quote from the Bible, they could still prosecute you with the wording of this law. The Scottish Catholic Church has warned that Christians risk being criminalised for quoting passages of the Bible if new proposed hate crime legislation is passed. So this is uniting the secular part of society, it's uniting the Christian side of society, it's uniting the police against this. I haven't heard anything from any Muslim or Jewish groups against it though, but we do have these Christian groups speaking against it. The bill itself creates a new crime of stirring up hatred against protected groups, which is defined as behaving in a threatening or abusive manner or communicating threatening or abusive material to another person. This can either be with the intention of stirring up hatred against someone from a protected group or where it is a likely consequence that hatred will be stirred up against such a group. And who is it that would be deciding that? As I pointed out earlier, it would be the judge that is deciding that, who would obviously have pressure being put upon him by newspapers or activist groups. New offences of possessing inflammatory material are also created, which covers people who have in their possession threatening, abusive or insulting material with a view to communicating the material to another person. So we would have another banned books list, something that we haven't had for hundreds of years since the Catholic Church banned a number of books for being subversive. And now we're going to have the same thing now. And the majority of the books that will be on it, I can tell you, will be books that are decades old, that had never been considered to be a problem before or inciting hatred in any way. Finally, the bill formally abolishes the offence of blasphemy, which has not been prosecuted in Scotland for more than 175 years. And this is the really incredible thing about this, because what this bill is effectively doing is it's bringing the blasphemy laws back in again. If you are criticising Muhammad, you would be accused of inciting hate against Islam. And if you are criticising the Talmud in this, you could be accused of inciting hatred against the Jews. So in actual fact, while they've tacked this on at the end there, we're getting rid of the offence of blasphemy, they're actually bringing it back in again under different wording. Mr. Youssef, the Justice Secretary, has insisted that the bill will not prevent you from expressing controversial or offensive views, just don't do it in a threatening or abusive way that is likely or intended to stir up hatred. And of course, what the actual effect of this will be is that nobody can actually argue against what the mainstream narrative is, because that will be accused of saying something in an abusive way. If you are critical of religions or any of these minorities, they could say that you're abusing them, or you're threatening them by saying that, because somebody else might hear it and they might not like the ethnic minority anymore after hearing what you said about it, as if what you could say could influence somebody into physical action, as if they're not responsible for their own actions. In a series of tweets, Mr. Youssef said it was not the case that someone could be prosecuted purely because someone else took offence at what they said. He said it would be for the courts to decide whether behaviour was threatening or abusive and was likely or intended to stir up hatred. So there we have it. Even if nobody has said that they were offended by something that you said, the courts could decide that it was threatening or abusive, or it was intended to incite hate, and that could be based on the standards that some left-wing activist group have. And nowhere in this does it define what hate is, or what hate is supposed to be. Hate is a part of love, isn't it? You hate anything which is harming somebody that you love. Hate isn't the opposite of love. It's a part of it. It's a necessary part of it. If you love your country, then you are going to hate anything that is causing harm to it, aren't you? If you love your partner, you're going to hate you're going to hate somebody coming along and hurting your partner. If you love your children, you're going to hate it if something's being done to harm your children. It's so ridiculous, criminalizing an emotion, which is what they're doing here. Anyway, I do think that this isn't going to pass through because there is such a public feeling against it. And it is good that it is uniting secular society with Christian society for once. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.